tonight, the portion of Scripture that we have read together this evening records for us the death of this man named Shimei when he was sentenced to death by King Solomon. You will see that sentence in verse 46, the final verse of the chapter. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. Benaiah was the captain of the hosts, the captain of all the armies of Israel. In the days of Solomon, he replaced Joab, who was slain as he held on to the horns of the altar. And Solomon commanded Benaiah, which went out and fell upon him, that is Shimei, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Shimei was a relative of King Saul. He first came to prominence in the Bible during the rebellion of Absalom. When Absalom, David's son, rebelled against his father, he sought to take the throne of Israel. He sought to raise armies that would defeat the armies of David. David had to flee for his life from the city of Jerusalem. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and the verse 5, we read of this man Shimei and what he did unto David at that time. It tells us there in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 5, when King David came to Bath-Huram, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David. David's fleeing for his life. He's abandoning Jerusalem until he gets his armies together, and Joab would lead them in battle against Absalom. And as he comes to this place called Bahurim, Shimei hears that David is passing that way, and he comes out to curse David. He's a rebel against David. He's casting his lot in with Absalom, and he tells David that he had taken the kingdom and the throne by force of Saul, his relative, and that now God is repaying him for his treatment of Saul, and that all this trouble is coming upon David's own head. He curses David, and he throws stones at David and his men. Abishai, one of David's mighty men, the brother of Joab, was incensed and enraged at the behavior of this individual. And he asked David for leave, if he could go over and he could take off Shimei's head. He wanted to put him to death. And we can, I suppose, in the flesh understand why Abishai would feel like that. He was angry with this man for cursing David, the Lord's anointed. But David, in an act of grace and mercy, refused to give Abishai the permission to go and slay this man Shimei. He spared his life. You know, David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you rebel against the Lord and against the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is only by the grace, the long-suffering and the mercy of the Lord that he doesn't cast the sinner off at the end of hell. No, he gives time. He gives space for that individual to repent, to have opportunity again to hear the gospel and to repent and to come, as it were, under the reign and the rule of the Lord's rightly anointed king. So David spared this man's life. When you come to 1 Kings chapter 2, many more years had passed since that time when Shimei cursed David. David retook the kingdom, and he continued to allow Shimei to live. But on David's deathbed, he gave his son Solomon some advice. He told him to deal with Joab, And he told them then how to deal with this man Shimei. He instructed him that he was a man that could not be trusted. He was a man who had a rebellious heart and a heart intent upon revenge upon the house of David. And he told his son how to deal with this man. David died. And Solomon wisely took the counsel of his father. And he dealt with Shimei just as his father had told him. And in this portion of scripture, we see Solomon's dealings with Shimei. How Shimei rebelled against Solomon. And then how he came to the point of death and destruction. And I want to say to you this evening that within Solomon's dealings with Shimei, there is a picture and a presentation of God's dealings with sinners in the gospel. I want you to see firstly this evening there was a provision made for Shimei. Though Shimei was a rebel who could not be trusted, and though he deserved to perish for his rebellion, yet a way was provided by King Solomon. Provided by the king, whereby he would not perish or die, but live out his days in peace. Look at verse 36 and 37. It says, the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. Do you see how Solomon is dealing with this man? He has made provision for him. He could put him to death for his rebellion. And he would be entitled to do so. But he gives this man an opportunity to be at peace with the king. And to live in peace with the king. But he says, Shimei, you'll leave your home at Bashurim. You'll build a house in Jerusalem. And you will not leave the boundaries of Jerusalem. You will not pass over the brook Kidron. You will not go out of the city. But you will stay within Jerusalem. And as long as you remain in Jerusalem, you can go about your business in Jerusalem. And as long as you remain in that city, you will not die. I will not have you put to death. But the moment you leave the city, you will bring blood upon your own head. Bible commentators tend to think that Solomon's reasoning is that if he remained within Jerusalem, he would not be able to stir up any rebellion among his kinsfolk or his friends or his followers there at his home place. And therefore, he gives him this opportunity. He makes provision that this man can live and live in peace with the king, though he was a rebel at heart. What a picture that is of the provision of the gospel that has been made in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, in his grace and by his mercy, has provided a way whereby sinful and rebellious man can be reconciled to God, can be at peace with God, and can have peace with God. And that provision was made at that place just outside the city of Jerusalem. And that provision was made in and through the work of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the cross that deals with man's rebelliousness against God. If you turn over to the New Testament and Ephesians chapter 2, we read of this very work and the provision that God made at the cross for the rebelliousness and the sinfulness of mankind and man's heart. Ephesians chapter 2, and it's the verse 16. And there we read that he, that is God, might reconcile both, that's Jew and Gentile. That he might reconcile or make peace both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The word enmity means hostility and opposition. It refers to a battle. The Lord spoke those words to the devil in the Garden of Eden. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed, there would be hostility. There would be a battle. There would be enmity between the seed of the woman, Christ, and the devil and his seed. And it conveys hostility. It conveys the idea of a battle, opposition. And the Lord is saying that Jew and Gentile, they're all born in sin. And in their sinful condition, they have enmity between them and God. They are rebellious against God at heart. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin makes us rebels against God. And that is the condition of every man or woman born into this world. But you'll see in this verse, the Lord is saying that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God, that he might make peace for them. He did it by the cross, and it was at the cross that the enmity was dealt with. And I'm saying to you that the work of the cross is God's provision for rebellious and for sinful man. There God found a way whereby he could reconcile sinners unto himself. That though, and make no mistake about it, the sinner, like Shimei, deserved to die. My friend, in your state of sin, even if you're a Christian tonight, remember this, that before you were converted, you deserved the wrath of God. You deserved judgment for your sin. There was nothing good within you that recommended you to God or deserved his mercy, his favor, or his grace. You deserved eternal destruction. But God found a way whereby he could reconcile sinful man to himself. That way was the cross. You know, the story of Abraham and Isaac illustrates the provision of the cross so well, that guilty man might live and might have peace because of the work of the cross. You'll remember that Abraham, he took Isaac and he set off. God told him to find the place. It was Mount Moriah. And there Abraham brought Isaac and he built the altar and he laid the wood upon it. And he took Isaac and he bound Isaac and he placed him on the altar. And he took the knife and he's about to plunge it into Isaac. And the voice of the Lord from heaven comes and calls him, Abraham, Abraham. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. Oh, Isaac was going to die. Isaac was going to perish. And that's the picture of the sinner. You're going to perish for your sin, and rightly so. But oh, there was a lamb. God shall provide himself a lamb. And the ram was caught by the thorns in the thicket. It couldn't be caught by the legs in the thicket, because then it would have been a blemished lamb. It couldn't have been caught by its hinder parts in the thicket, because then it would have been blemished, and the lamb had to be without spot and without blemish. So it was caught by its horns. And Abram took that lamb and that ram and he took Isaac off the altar. The one that should have died. The lamb was sacrificed in his place. And the ram died upon the altar. Oh, at Calvary, God provided the substitute, one to take your place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord found and provided a substitute. And the Lord provided a Savior, for with his stripes we are healed. And there is God's provision, provided just outside the city of Jerusalem, whereby rebellious, sinful man who deserved to die for his rebellion against God and for his sin could be reconciled to God, could have peace with God, could live unto God and for God and have everlasting life. God's provision. There was a provision that was made. I want you to turn back to 1 Kings chapter 2. And I want you to notice something else in the case of Solomon's dealings with Shimei. Not only was there a provision made, but there was a warning that was neglected. You'll see in Solomon's words, there in verse 37, Solomon made it clear to Shimei that if he neglected the refuge, the place of safety, the place of salvation for him, if he neglected it, then he would be slain and he would perish. Look again at verse 37. It shall be on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. And Shimei understood there's a warning given. You step out of Jerusalem. You step over the brook Kidron. You can go up to the brook. You can drink from the brook. You can wash in the brook. If it's swollen, you can swim in it. But the day you cross it, you'll die. You'll perish. That's the boundary. That's the word. And Shimei understood it. For verse 38, he said unto the king, the saying is good. He fully understood the implications. He knew there was a place of refuge and salvation. He knew if he neglected that place and he went outside of that shelter and that refuge, he would perish. He would die. And yet he neglected the warning. A situation arose. It came to pass, verse 39, at the end of 3 years, the two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. I'm not quite sure what Shimei was thinking. I don't think he forgot the word of the king. I don't think it's the type of thing that you would forget. I don't think it would slip your mind that, you know, if I go outside toward a down, I'm going to die. And for Shimei, it's if I go out of Jerusalem, I die. That's not the type of message that you forget. I think Shimei was a proud man. And I don't know why his servants left him. I've an inkling that he was not a good master. I tend to think that Shimei was harsh upon them. He treated them badly. Who's to say that these men possibly knew he can't leave Jerusalem, and therefore, with possibly being mistreated, they simply packed their bags, and one night under the cover of darkness, they got out of Jerusalem, they went even further than the bounds of Israel, and they went to the king of Gath, and they thought, we've got one over on Shimei. And maybe Shimei was the sort of man he didn't like being gotten the better of. There are plenty of folk like that. They don't like to be gotten the better of. I don't know how he thought he would get away with it. Did he think he would just slip away? That the king would never hear it? Perhaps he told his servants, don't whisper this to anyone. I'll be gone. I'll be back before anyone knows it. Cover for me. Tell them that I'm sick. I don't know if he said all of that. But he slipped away. And he was going to bring his servants back. But once somebody heard, somebody told somebody else, and they told somebody else, and the word got to the king, he neglected the warnings. And ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has given warnings in his word. He's given warnings about the way of salvation. He has provided one way for man to be saved and to be saved from sin. He has provided one refuge for the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. But he says this to each one of us. And the question is posed. It was posed by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit. He asked the Hebrews, how shall we escape? How shall we escape the judgment of God? How shall we escape punishment for sin if we neglect so great a salvation? And there's the warning that is given. There's a similar warning in the Old Testament in Proverbs 29 in verse 1. He that being often reproved. Shimei, I don't know how often he was reminded. Don't go over the boundary. But here in Proverbs 29 and 1, the Lord's saying, man can be often reproved, often corrected, and he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. If you don't take the reproof, if you don't take the correction, if you don't listen to the message that there's only one way of salvation through the work of the cross, if you ignore it, if you neglect it, then be assured. You will perish. And the Bible has various references to those who neglected the warning and the message. Would you turn back to Genesis chapter 19? Genesis chapter 19. The Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, with two angels, visited Abraham one day. You'll read about it in Genesis 18. And the Lord Jesus sent his two angels on down into Sodom. And he stood yet with Abraham under the tree. And Abraham prayed to him. But he sent those two angels down into Sodom. He was going to judge Sodom. The judgment of Sodom is a picture of the judgment of God at the end of time upon the world of sin and sinners. And you will see there in verse 14, after the angels had warned Lot, they told Lot, get out of this place, the Lord will destroy it. You need to get out for judgment's coming. And they told Lot that God had provided a place for him. He was to get to the mountain. That was to be Lot's place of refuge and safety. There was a place appointed of God for Lot to go to. It was a place of safety and refuge for him. That's where he was to go. And they give him the warning. And then in verse 14 it tells us Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. There's the warning. Lot is telling his sons-in-law, I just had a message from two angels. God is about to destroy this city with fire and brimstone. And you need to get out of this city. You need to come with me to the place, the mountain, or you will perish. Here is a man and he's telling his loved one. I wonder, is there someone in this meeting tonight and your loved one is saved? They're at the place of safety and refuge into Christ by faith. They've come to Mount Calvary and they've been converted and they're saved and they're saying to you, I want you to come with me. Maybe it's a wife has told her husband. Maybe it's a son or a daughter has told a parent. Maybe it's a parent has told a child. I'm saved. We're saved. And we want you to come to heaven with us. We want you to be saved from your sin. But tonight, you're neglecting the warning. Here were two younger men than Lot. And they were given the warning. Sodom is about to be destroyed. And if you don't get out, you'll perish. Look at what verse 14 says.
right at the end, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They just thought he was having a joke. They didn't take him seriously. And you read on in this chapter and you read how that Lot himself lingered and the two angels, one of them took Lot by the hand and his daughter or his wife, and the other one took the two daughters or the wife. They got them and they ushered them out and they took them from that city. And as Lot went out and the sun was up, just as God had said and just as the angels had reported, fire and brimstone fell upon that place. And Lot's sons-in-law with his daughters that were married, they perished. They neglected the warnings. It has been preached on, that little text in Acts 16 and 31. It's been turned around. What must I do to be saved? And men have preached, what must I do to be lost? The answer comes back to be lost. You just do nothing. You keep neglecting the warnings that are given. And your soul will perish. That's what these men did. They neglected the warnings. And they perished. That's what Shimei did. Oh, if time permitted me, we could give you the other example in Genesis. For Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Peter tells us in his epistle, that 1 Peter 3 and 20, that God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. 2 Peter 2 and 5 tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And as he preached the gospel, and as he built the ark, the Lord waited while the ark was preparing. And Noah told the people, enter the ark, the place of refuge and salvation. But they neglected the warnings. And the rain fell. And the fountains of the deep were opened up. And the earth flooded. And those that neglected the warning perished. My friend, tonight, are you neglecting the warnings of the gospel? The warnings that say Christ is the only Savior. Christ is the only hope. He's the only one that can give you peace with God and save your soul. But if you go past Him, if you reject Him, if you neglect Him, your soul will certainly perish. You will not escape if you neglect so great salvation. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 2. There's one final thought I want you to consider this evening. The provision that was made, the warning that was neglected. Notice finally the tragedy that followed or ensued. Verse 42, we read these words, 1 Kings chapter 2. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. There came the day that Shimei had to give account. He perished. And I have already indicated to you that if you neglect the warnings, you will perish. But before he did, and he perished in verse 46. You will notice in verse 42 that it was after he had given an account to the king. The king sent and called for Shimei. And he said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, know for certain, on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhither, that thou shalt surely die, and thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Solomon called Shimei to account. He had to tell the king why he broke the agreement, why he neglected the warning, and why he did what he did. Doesn't that remind us there's a day of accounting coming? When the living and the dead will stand before the throne. The Bible tells us that after death, the judgment,
The Lord will pass sentence upon men when their souls enter eternity. But before the final sentence is passed on the judgment day, man will be called to give account unto God. And you have the scene presented for you in Revelation 20. The great white throne, the dead standing before the Lord, and the books being opened, and the dead being judged out of those things that are written in the books. There's coming a day when men will have to give account to the King. And having neglected the warnings of the gospel and the invitations to come to Christ, they will hear that awful sentence, "Depart from me, ye cursed. Enter into everlasting flames prepared for the devil and his angels." Do you know, on that day there's another sentence that will be passed, "For the saints of God shall stand before the Lord too at the judgment seat of Christ. And they will hear those words, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" The question is this: on that day of accounting, will you hear that awful sentence to depart, or will you hear that welcome into eternal glory? Oh, Shimei had to give account before Solomon, and he perished being found wanting. And if the sinner is found wanting on that day, having neglected the provision of the cross, he'll be cast asunder into everlasting flames. May it not be so for you, but may you receive the provision that God has made, and may you be ready for that great day of accounting when you'll stand before the Lord.